Hello and welcome to So You Want to Get Into Politics, Adventures of a Would-Be Councillor. This is a fly on the wall podcast following the journey of my friend Craig as he enters the world of party politics for the first time. I'm Rachel and I'm a local resident of Bedminster and a town councillor.
And I'm Craig and I hope that you, the listener, will learn how I can represent you and what I'm about. Rachel, how are we going to do it?
Well, we're going to do a weekly Q&A, hopefully picking up questions from our listeners.
No, people's real local priorities and concerns are very isolated. They are very much in our little community bubble. We could talk about local issues.
Footprints of boat shoes. We're going to talk about the week's activities and what you've been up to.
It puts me in a place that I genuinely feel that I can kind of hit the ground running. But I think it's quite important that I just put a warning out that sometimes we will go off topic. We are prone at laughing at each other and generally having a bit of a good time.
We are. So this podcast will be available each week from wherever you get your podcasts. So don't forget to subscribe, like and share to get up-to-date episodes. Hi, Craig.
Good evening, Rachel. How are you doing? You all right?
Well, I'm very good. You've been poorly, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. I've done it again, burning the candle. I've been burning the candle at both ends the last, 4 months.
Burning the political candle at both ends, obviously.
Yeah. And now the candle's just this like stub in the middle. And there's just nothing else to burn. So, yeah, I was up and around Mosterton end of last week, posting some bits and bobs and got caught in the rain and was very silly and didn't go and get a coat, basically. So, yeah, I feel caught a bit of a chill. So all weekend, I've had this kind of cold that's been going around. So, yeah, I feel a little bit rubbish. But it's only a few
It feels like deja vu because the first time you went out and delivered leaflets, you got soaking wet and didn't have the wrong shoes and the wrong coat.
Yeah, exactly the same thing happened, except I bought a coat. As you remember, for our listener, will remember probably episode 2. I did buy a coat. But I left it in the car and the car was sort of too far from where I was. And I was wearing deck shoes instead of my trainers. And yeah, so I hadn't really learned from those mistakes. But yeah, so I think I caught a bit of a chill. So I'm feeling a bit sorry for myself this weekend. But like I say, there's only a few days left. So I'm just going to soldier on.
I can't believe that we are nearing the end. I can't believe it. It's been 12 weeks. Since we started this, because this is episode number 12.
Is it really 12 weeks? Mm. Only feels like yesterday when we recorded the first one at your house, wasn't it? I was laying on the sofa.
Yeah.
In my Titanic impression.
Yeah, that was really funny.
Yeah.
So this is episode 12. I think it is. I think
it's close to that. 11.
Yeah, episode 10 is the one of just you on your own, but this is definitely episode 12. Well, I think I'm putting out and, you know, we're just going to kind of do a bit of a summing up on the campaign, aren't we? We're going to, you know, reflect a little bit on how things have been over the last few weeks and talk about what final steps are going to be.
Yeah. So, yeah, no questions this week. But no, it's been, you know, we were just chatting briefly before we started to record and actually... I've really enjoyed the journey. I know we said at the very start of the podcast that we thought it'd be different, a bit fun to have a kind of lighthearted sort of platform to record the journey of this process. And I've really enjoyed it. And looking back on kind of my campaigning and my kind of key priorities and, you know, design. In fact, this came from, I actually thought about this the next, I had a question from somebody on the doorstep, which the question was basically, all the stuff you've been talking about, your campaign and your priorities, is that you, or is that what you're being told to say? And it's actually, it was really refreshing to say it is 100% me. Mm-hmm. None of the stuff I've done and spoken about has been politically pushed on me by the local conservative group. It's all my message. Even the leaflets and the designs, that's been done by me with help from the infamous Ashley in the office, who knows how to do it. Obviously it's got stamps and logos on it that it has to have by law, but you know, even to the design of leaflets, that's all been me. So I can honestly say to people that I've had no no influence on my priorities or my messaging in this campaign. It's been a really independent campaign by me.
Surely, the office, you've got to be the golden boy, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, I think I'm a bit more organized than a few others. Yeah. So,
Yeah.
but no, it's been really nice. It was really nice actually, just to say to that one person, which I thought actually is worth relaying to the handful of people that listen to our podcast, is that, this, my leafleting and my campaign and my priorities and everything I've said and done and published and shared and tweet, whatever, all that stuff, it has literally been all me.
Yeah.
There's been no outside influence whatsoever. And I think because of that, looking back on everything, I'm really pleased with it all. Like I said earlier on, I try to sort of not have regrets, and I don't really regret anything that I've done through the campaign. I think we've kept it really positive, we've kept it really local, really on point, and really me, just me, Craig.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about.
Other than wearing the wrong coat and the wrong shoes, what's the biggest takeaway that you've learned from the process?
What's the biggest takeaway? I think the biggest takeaway from me was that from the very beginning, when I sent when I published and I sent out my surveys, and the feedback that people gave me on those surveys, which has been reaffirmed by speaking to people on the doors or at the community events I've been to, or just in the pub, or just, in day-to-day life, is that, people's real local priorities and concerns are very isolated. They are very much in our little community bubble. And I was actually a little bit surprised at that. So that's a big takeaway, that, people do have, they do have some real worries and concerns and things they want to see made better. And almost unanimously, they are all very, very local issues. Like, even to, a small part of Bedminster, not just Bedminster. And I
Yeah, so their
think,
street,
yeah,
the
literally
rubbish
a
isn't being
neighborhood.
collected
Yeah.
or whatever.
And I think, so that's been a big takeaway. And that's been consistent the whole time. And I think that's really shone through. And that's why I'm really pleased with my campaign, because I think because of my background and my experience with the council and other experiences, and just being part of the community and actually living here, I've just naturally been very in tune with it. So it's always felt very comfortable and natural for me to understand those priorities, and also to be able to lay out why it's my priority, what I'm going to do about it, and do my best where I've been able to provide some evidence of how it can be done. So I'm not just empty words of, oh, I'll do this, it'll make it better. I've actually been able to lay out a tangible thing so people can see it and go, yeah, that makes sense.
It must be quite interesting, as being town chair, and you see the town and the ward as you sort of bird's eye view, don't you? And so you get the bus and the larder and the fridge has been to feed Bedminster, and so it must be really interesting that this sort of micro neighbourhood thing, that's something that wouldn't necessarily have been on your radar then, as you've said, it's a takeaway. And
Yeah,
that's
well,
actually quite interesting.
I think it probably actually has been on the radar, but I've not been so aware of it. So what I mean by that is actually somebody mentioned, I know it sounds stupid, let me try and quantify it, and then it'll make sense. So somebody said to me after the annual parish meeting, we had a really good chat about the state of the railings outside the Masonic Lodge, and the history about the railings. And actually, we were talking about that, and I thought, well, we've been talking about that for 3 years in council. Sporadically it's come up, but because of the way town council works and the ability to sort of be involved in those sorts of things, because it's more of a DC thing, etc. Actually, that very small community issue, I mean, it does kind of affect the whole town in some respects, because everyone thinks it's a bit of an eyesore. But that is quite a niche little area. But actually, I am aware of it, and we have been trying to work on it, and we've been involved in it for 3, 4 years, well, since I've been on the council, really. But I've not necessarily thought of it like that.
Yeah.
So then I spoke to somebody, door knocking, that a couple of days later, they said, one thing, everything else is fine, Craig. One thing that really annoys me, railings. I went, right, I know. I'm already working on it. Have been working on it as town councillor, and fingers crossed, we'll continue to work on it as DC councillor, and hopefully be in a better place to actually do something about it. So all these little things, I think us as town councillors, and you're probably the same, to be fair, Rachel, they are on our radar. We just don't quite think of it as such a micro thing.
Yeah.
It's not until you start really getting sort of under the surface of it and become more of aware of it in that sense. So
Does
that's
it
my big
change your
takeaway.
view then? So if you've been aware of it, you've been aware. So let's take the railings. It's a good example because you would have just been sort of talking about it in planning or wherever, and yeah, okay, it's not our problem. I'm being flippant, obviously. There would have been slightly more a deeper conversation about it. Now you've met other people that it's really bothering, and it is a everything's great, but this is an issue. Is it does it change your perspective, and do you think that's going to be one of the first things now that you want to try and fix once you've won? Because of course you are going to win, but
I think it changes my perspective in the sense that I can see through my knowledge and understanding so far of how Dorset Council works that it will be one of the first things I try and fix. And I think that's kind of an important thing that I would say within my campaign that I would kind of respectfully suggest is another reason why I think I'm the strongest candidate for Bedminster, is that with my knowledge and experience and understanding of how town, parish, and unitary council works, just from experience, it puts me in a place that I genuinely feel that I can kind of hit the ground running. Obviously, there's going to be much more to it than at a town council, but essentially the mechanism is the same. So I do have a fair amount of experience and time under my belt to look at those sorts of things and say, right, yeah, I see the problem, but more importantly than just seeing a problem, I think the difference between me and the other candidates that put themselves forward, respectfully, is that I see the problem and I also see a pathway to a solution because of my experience and knowledge of how to get things done. And I think with a pinch of being pretty persuasive and diplomatic to keep pushing until I kind of get my own way. And I'm not saying that I'm always going to be successful in trying to solve every problem that I come across as a ward councillor, but I think I'll be pretty good at it. So, that's been the big takeaway for me. It's just been really interesting because, and I think going forward as well for town council, obviously I won't be part of the town council anymore, but it's certainly some experience I would pass on to the town council because we have started to do some work around surveys and community engagement and trying to get a bit more feedback from the town. And I think it sort of goes to show from a town council level that that is something we should do a little bit more of as well.
Are you seeing Bedminster through a different lens?
I am, but because I'm seeing the ward more so than just Bedminster now. Obviously,
Oh
Bedminster.
yeah. Oh no. Well, yeah.
That wasn't a
Sorry.
leading question. You see, so you, but you forget about the other bits. No,
Well, I don't, but
I
yes, I
don't
do.
give me. No, I think I am a little bit, but because I think we said in an earlier podcast, as a ward councillor, it's obviously your first priority is your ward, your second priority is then Dorset Council because you are part of that wider council, and there will inevitably be responsibilities and decision making that will affect other parts of Dorset. But I think certainly much more locally, I am seeing Bedminster Ward as a ward rather than just Bedminster. And obviously spending hours and hours and hours walking miles and miles and miles down every road and pathway and bridle way and everywhere in between, you know, around Mosterton and South Parrot, Chellington, and all the farms and everything else. I feel much more connected with those places now. You know, obviously, I mean, this week on. Well, a couple of days ago, there was a burglary at the shops in Mosset. You know, I was only in there a few days ago, chatting to, you know, the owners in there and sharing a bit of a laugh and stuff. So I feel a bit more connected to those sorts of issues now. In fact,
That's interesting.
Yeah. So not that I wouldn't have cared before, because, you know.
No, but you wouldn't necessarily have been involved. Well, not that you're involved, but you wouldn't.
Yeah, all the suspects have been arrested. There's nobody else.
Where were you on the night of the?
Well, yeah, probably, yeah, probably.
We've
posted leaflets.
Seen, we've seen footprints, footprints of of boat shoes.
So no, so I've seen, I'm seeing the wider ward in more perspective. And actually, I think it's part of me that feels like I'm quite keen to be more present and visible and engaging with the villages as well as the town. So I'm as keen, if not maybe a little bit keener, to quickly get to Mosterton, South Park and Chellington. Well, not Chellington, they don't have a parish council, but get to those parish council meetings as well, so they feel like they're equally represent. I can't speak properly, you know what I mean? That word.
Yes.
Because I'm really conscious that, you know, in Bedminster, because of my background, obviously, on the council, that a fair number of people within the town know me. So, but I'm also conscious that that's the other way for other parts of the ward. So, I'm looking forward to learning more about those areas too.
Well, and I think you've proved yourself on the town council as well. And if it just so happens that, say, you don't make a meeting or something, for whatever reason, we still know we can get hold of you and fill you in on whatever it is we might need you to do. So,
well,
I think that's going to be a good thing, right? Surely that's got to be. We'll be able to talk about you behind your back and then get you to do what we need you to do.
Well, I was saying this to somebody this morning, actually, that in a lot of ways, if I am successful, and fingers crossed I am, in a lot of ways, I don't necessarily think much will change, because a lot of the kind of public facing work that I've been doing for the last 5 years is around much more the community engagement side of things and the voluntary work that obviously I do and do with you as well, bus, larder, community fridge and all that stuff. And I'm going to still do that. So I just think it adds a bit more. I think it'll be an extra benefit that I will be the local ward councillor doing those things as well. So in some respects, I think things won't change that much. And obviously,
no, but it could be, sorry to cut in, but I think that actually Mosterton and Cheddington or South Perrott will have, you know, their communities are going to be enhanced, aren't they? Because you're going to be able to say, well, I've done all this over in Bedminster and we can make it worse. Say it was a community fridge. Say, you know,
definitely.
Mosterton felt they wanted a community fridge. Then, you know, you've got that knowledge and that wisdom and whatever to say, well, yeah, it'll work, or just come and use ours, or, you know, whatever it might be. And so they're going to gain a lot from you, aren't they? Which is great.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think literally just, and I think that comes down to like the individual skills that councillors have and just being a really good local person.
Yeah.
So that's not party political. That's just taking good
but that's what
to
makes
other
you
areas.
Good. That's what makes you good.
Sharing working practices with other areas and vice versa. Because I know Mosterton and South Parrot have their own kind of community things going on as well. So if I can add a value to that, great. And equally, if they can share some really good stuff with us, you know, build those kind of invisible bridges with the local villages as well. So, so that's that.
Right.
Good.
Brilliant.
So yeah, really enjoyed it.
So you've got one more leaflet to go out. That's sort of a mad dash for that to go out over the next couple of days. You know, some people are starring on it. So. Then what? Talk us through those final days.
So the next few days, yeah, a few bits of information, few more bits to get out. Gonna try and get a sort of a final leaflet out as well, just to kind of tie up my message over the last few months, and I'm really pleased with what that looks like. And just try and speak to as many people as possible. It's always been a challenge for me because obviously I'm still kind of doing a lot of town council work. I've got two young kids and a family. I run a business. Every time I go speak to people on the doors, I often know them, so I end up chatting for 15, 20 minutes. So it's been a bit of a challenge, but yeah, get all that wrapped up really, and just kind of tie off the campaign. And then I'm hoping to try and get a bit of an early night on Wednesday, because Thursday it's all done. There's nothing more to be said. 7 a.m. the public hall doors will open and the ballot boxes will be empty, and it will be time for people to cast their vote. But we've come up with a fun, informative kind of conclusion to how we're going to document that.
We have. We've got a format in the making, haven't we?
Yeah, because when we first decided to sort of do this, there was always going to be a kind of conclusion, and obviously documenting my journey from announcing being the candidate to the vote seemed a pretty obvious start and end,
Yeah.
unless it's a bit of a twist, Game of Thrones style. We're going to sort of go off on another tangent. Yeah, there's not going to be a second season to this, I don't think. It's going to be Thursday is the elections, and then Friday's the count. So we are going to try and document those 2 days as much as possible. Starting with probably me sat on the windowsill of the public hall at 6:30-ish in the morning with a coffee, waiting for the doors to open. So during the course of Thursday, as people are obviously going to the hall to cast their votes, I'll be busy frantically running around doing what we call telling. So people that have voted before will know what I'm talking about. But often there'll be a volunteer from each party that will be doing something that they call telling, which will be asking people who vote for their voting number, which is on your polling card. They won't necessarily ask you how you voted, but they'll just ask you for your polling number. What they're doing is they're just recording the fact that you have voted, because as well as people being on the door just counting the voters, and obviously candidates like myself being there as well, there will be some amazing volunteers and people supporting me with trying to get those last minute votes in, and just reminding people that it is the day. So it'll be a very long day, very very busy, very kind of lots of important things going on. So we thought it'd be really nice to try and document that with a few kind of mini audios, just sort of taking sort of snapshots of the day, what's kind of going on. Might try and rope in a couple of special guests if there's anybody particularly special around as well. And then at 10 o'clock, the doors will shut at the town hall and lock, and the vote's done. So then I'm gonna have a beer, probably the Red Lion.
Or I think it should be changed to the Blue Lion because it's going to be
Chase it, yeah, at the Blue Lion for one night only. So I think I'll have a quick drink or two with the amazing team that are going to be supporting me on the day, and then we should do much the same on Friday. So Friday morning in Weymouth, the count will start. I think it's about 9:30. So yeah, I'll be there with the team. Really pleased that you'll be there as my guest and
Yeah.
helping me there as well. Doing a telling again, as they call it. A couple other people. So again, I think we'll try and do a few quick mini recordings. And obviously the results, and then the post-result interview, which will either be a happy one or a not so happy
Yeah,
one.
it'll be a very short, unhappy one.
Yeah, or a very long.
Or very
Yeah.
long one that we're celebrating, and it's bound
Yeah.
to be that one. It's
Yeah.
people would be stupid if they don't vote for you, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, well, you're a bit biased.
Well, I know, and well, yeah, I am biased, but also I'm not stupid.
Yeah. And then some very professional editing by yourself. We'll put all that together
I will.
and turn it into what hopefully would be a fairly interesting documented 2 days for people to listen to give you as close as we can get kind of fly on the wall experience of the two very stressful days for me. And
Yeah,
that's
it'll be
what we're
good.
planning on doing.
Absolutely. All
So
right, well, look forward to that then.
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I guess the last thing for me to say, because this podcast will obviously go out before the election and the second will go out afterwards, is if you support me, please do not forget to vote. If you don't support me, don't worry about popping out. It's fine. I'm joking. No, either way, I know I echo the words of other candidates as well. I know Julie's been really hot on this, the Labour candidate. Whatever you do, it's really important to vote. So if you are intending on voting with your polling card, please stick a reminder in your phone. Please don't forget, every vote will count. It will be equally as important. Don't forget your ID. There's a very long list of IDs that are available. Don't want to get into that, but you need ID, so don't forget your ID. Polling station opens at 7 a.m. and it will close at 10. And if you have your postal vote but you forgot to post it, you can take that to the town hall, completed and sealed, and you can hand it in as a postal vote, as long as you filled it in all properly, so you haven't lost your chance to vote. So please do vote. Please remind your neighbours and your friends. And I'd love to see a really high turnout of voters for Bedminster. I'd love to even more if it was all for me, but regardless, I think it'll be a nice sign that there is still healthy democracy in Bedminster. So let's have a really good turnout. So please don't forget to vote, and please drag as many people along with you as possible. And I look forward to seeing you outside the public hall and recording the last podcast.
Yep, I'll be there.
See
See you
you
then.
later. Cheers, Rach.
Bye.
Bye for now.
So don't forget to subscribe, like, and share to get up-to-date episodes.